हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 ओम जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो भक्ति संदर्भ अध्याय वन अधिकरण फाइव सुप्रीमेसी ऑफ भक्ति एज द अल्टीमेट पाथ। ओके सो देन कंटिन्यूइंग आई थिंक विथ द विस इट अनुच्छेद 115। Then bhakti occurs in all conditions of time. Prahlad, hearing from Narada in the womb, is famous, right? So all conditions of time. So he's in the womb, he's still able, hearing there. Dhruva performed bhakti in his childhood. Ambarish performed bhakti in his youth. Dhritarashtra performed bhakti in old age. Ajamayel performed bhakti abhasa when dying. Chitraketu performed bhakti in Swarga. Bhakti can be performed in hellish condition. Yata yata harir nama kirtayanti sma narakaha. Tata tata harau bhaktim udvahanto divam yayuhu. Those who chant the holy name of the Lord in hell, developing bhakti, attain the spiritual world. Nisringa Purana 8:31. Durvasa says, O Supreme Controller, without knowledge of your unlimited powers, I have offended your most dear devotees. O Lord, by whose name a person in hell becomes liberated, please do something to nullify this offense. Srimad Bhagavatam 9:462. It is also said, O King, continuous chanting of the holy name of the Lord has been prescribed for devotees, for those with desires for liberation and material elevation, and for those satisfied with the self. Right? So therefore, we've gone heaven, hell, we've got all stages of life, and then we've done in heaven, in hell, and now we've also done this aspect of what's beyond, from the liberated state. The negative examples are also seen. Kim vidai, kim tu shastrer va, kim va tirta nishevanahi, shevanaihi. Vishnu bhakti vihinanam, kim tapo bhif, bih kim advarahi. What is the use of the Vedas, other scriptures, serving holy places, performing austerities or sacrifice, if one is devoid of bhakti to Vishnu? Narada Purana 130.111. Right? So it's showing that all time, the ideas that we're showing from different angles, all times, all places, all circumstances, bhakti is performed. That makes it the ultimate path. It's not restricted, that only at this time or this person or any of those kind of aspects. Kim tasya bahubi shastrai, kim tapo bhi kim advarai. Vajapeya sahasrerva bhaktir yasya janardane. What is the use of many scriptures, austerity, or thousands of horse sacrifices for a person who has bhakti to Vishnu? Brihad Naradiya Purana. So here's going both ways. One is the first one, from the Narada Purana. Then what is the use of these things? Vedas, other scriptures, serving holy places, austerities are sacrificed if there's no bhakti. And then the next one, what's the use of scriptures, austerities, thousands of horse sacrifices for a person who has bhakti to Vishnu? So in other words, all these things, the glory to them is their being connected to Vishnu. Otherwise, on their own, being pious, that's like being in prison and being a nice prisoner. So then they let you, stay in a nicer area of the prison. like that. So there might be some benefits, but it's still you're in prison. So what's the point? So someone who's out of the prison doesn't need to do those nice things that you need to do in prison to get the good facilities in prison. All they do is devotional service. That sense, it's the original, right? The prison is just a reflection of the original society, right? You know, there's a place to stay, there's a bed, there's a place to wash, there's eat food, there's a place to eat, there's a place to hang out. So all these things, but they're very restricted. While outside, then it's very broad. So the point is for the devotee, they don't have to do anything because it's pious or avoid anything because it's impious. They simply have to engage in Krishna consciousness. And being engaged in Krishna consciousness, one will only do those things that are favorable to Krishna. Then from Bhagavatam, I offer continual respects to the Lord full of auspicious qualities. Without worshiping him, the jnanis, karmis, specialized karmis, yogis, scholars of the Vedas, and followers of proper conduct cannot attain any benefit. Right? Because when you say no benefit, there's no benefit for the soul. Even if you get something nice, at the end of life you lose it and you move on to something else. So there's no maintenance of anything proper or good like that. So because we're talking about the eternal platform, truth means what's eternal. And, you know, so sat. Asat means what's not eternal, what's temporary. So therefore, all these different things means they'll only give the jnanis, you know, that their renunciation, their knowledge, karmis, their good action, specialized karmis who move up into these big, you know, like ashramita yajnas, or they do some very specific kind of vows, yogis, you know, in the mystic cities, scholars of the Vedas, you know, recognition that they get, the knowledge that they get, followers of proper conduct, that they do everything nice, they're friendly towards everyone. They cannot get any benefit because the soul won't get any benefit from any of this. None. Like that, karma simply affects the environment around you. That's all. You do good karma, you know, you get a nice house, you may get money, you may get a nice family, nice respect in society, you know, these kind of things. They're just circumstantial. They're all external to the soul. So therefore, no good action can actually do anything for the soul. Nothing. You know, you can say it's a nicer environment in which the soul can act. But if the soul doesn't act, that's like saying the millionaire, he has so much money if he would spend it, but he's not spending it. In fact, for many, they don't even know it's there. And so, therefore, they're just misers. That's why they call the materialists kripanas, because they have so much facility that they could use in Krishna's service, but they don't use it in Krishna's service. That's kripana. You can say, but they're using it for themselves and all that, but they're not using it for themselves. They're using it for their false identity of themselves. They're not using it for themselves. They're not using it for Krishna. So they're not actually getting any real benefit. And then next verse, even Brahmaloka should not be accepted as a residence if there are no rivers of sweet topics about the Lord, no devotees who take shelter of those topics, and no great festivals or sacrifices of chanting the holy name of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.19.24. Right? So no situation is accepted unless it has the ability to be engaged in Krishna's service. There's no association of devotees, hearing and chanting of the Lord's name. If none of these are there, then what's the point of even the nicest situation? It doesn't do anything for the living entity. So therefore, that's why from the devotional service, they simply look at it from that aspect. And so the karmis can't understand at all. They think that they're just hiding from the realities of life, when it's actually, no, the karmis, they're hiding from the realities of life. You know, that's what's actually going on. Or the mixed devotees thinks, oh, but this is very important. It just means it's a nice quality of environment to use in Krishna's service. But the point is using it in Krishna's service, that's the only actual real benefit. It's not that anything else is giving a benefit. There isn't such a thing. So that's the point being made, is that one can say is, no, but the quality of the ingredients is important. It's only important in as much as the bhakti. So in other words, if the quality of the ingredients is reflective of greater devotion, that you went to the trouble to get better quality ingredients or make better quality arrangements because of your devotion, then it has a value. But if that's not the case, it's just that you think because it's better quality, therefore it's better. No, it's because you want better for Krishna, so you got better. That's the point. It's very subtle, but it's very important. So that's then the point that's being made, is that bhakti is the ultimate path. It's the all-inclusive path. Nothing is missing in bhakti. You don't miss out on anything by performing bhakti. The idea is that, no, we have to have this situation, then we can perform bhakti. No, bhakti is completely independent of any facility, like Prahlad Maharaj or Dhruva Maharaj. What facility are they having? But they're serving Krishna. You know, so that's, and they're famous. You know, or we see Prahlad Maharaj when he's in the womb. How, you know, what service, what facility does he have? Right? Like that. Even after Indra had bowed down to Achyuta, touched his feet with the tips of his crown, and begged the Lord to fulfill his desire, that exalted Devata, having achieved his purpose, chose to fight with the Supreme Lord. What ignorance there is among the gods. To hell with their opulence. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:59-41. Right? So here's pointing out that Indra has bowed down to the Lord, you know, touched his feet with the tips of his crown, right? Begged the Lord to fulfill all his desires. The Lord took care of all that. And then he chose to fight with the Supreme Lord. So then what's the point? Bhakti is the point. To hell with their opulence, right? So therefore, they worship the Lord, they've gotten their opulence, and they use their opulence against the Lord. There's a Bengali saying that you take your knife and then you rub it back and forth on the tree to sharpen the edge, you know, to get that fine edge, you know, like that. And then once you do, you use it to cut, you want to test it, you cut the tree. You know, like, does that make sense? You know, like Brahma, he's testing his power on Krishna during the Brahma Vimohan Lila. Of course, it's an arrangement to show, you know, these glories like that. So then you see that, you know, someone like Brahma is a Mahajan. Indra's not, but Brahma is. So then we see is that for these great personalities, like the Pandavas and that, they don't have any karma or any sins to deal with. They'll have those aspects. So they just are put in these situations so that others can take example that, yes, we have to be very careful. We have to, you know, be very diligent in our devotional service or whatever situation we're in, like the Pandavas, they're in the forest. They're born in the forest. Then they come to the palace. Then they're again in the forest. Then they come to the palace. Then they're again in the forest. Right? Then they come to the palace. Then they go to the forest for the final. So they just keep going back and forth. So they are emperors of the world in the forest. Emperors of the world in the forest. So it's not like, you know, he's, you know, living under a tarpaulin, then he doesn't have a tarpaulin. He's living under a tarpaulin, then he doesn't have a tarpaulin. No, we're talking about emperor of the world, then nothing. Emperor of the world, then nothing. And so therefore, no one can say, oh, but no one's situation is as bad as mine. No, it's the Shastra. That's why Shastra, it could give just some regular general story, but no, it always gives some more extreme, because then we'll notice and go, oh, okay, yeah, I'm not in as bad a position as there. You know, oh, all my relatives are against me. Do you have 100 cousins against you? And out with 11 Akshauhini of soldiers to against you? No. Okay. So then it's not quite as bad. Like that. Like that. You know, so that's the kind of situation that we're in. You know, you're doing your vrata and someone's disturbing you like that. Ambarish Maharaj, then he was fasting for 41 days. I mean, he's fast. You know, but then he breaks it with water. That means he wasn't even taking water for 41 days, right? He breaks it with water. And then, you know, Durvasa gets upset because, you know, he had some other purposes and all that. And then he gets chased around the universe for 1 year. And Ambarish Maharaj is just waiting for him to come back. So can anyone say that their vrata is being disturbed as much as... And it's so austere. No. So that's why these examples are given, so that we can see. And then who are doing it? These great devotees. Because otherwise, who else could do these things? But the point is you know, we could say then, oh, but we're not the Pandavas. No, but you're supposed to take example from the Pandavas. They did what you should do. So your situation is less. Their situation is more. They showed what should be done. So you don't have to do what they did in their situation. You have to do what you should do in your situation. Like that. Does that make sense? So then sometimes we see is that these situations come up to set example for us. So therefore, even then the demigods, you know, they may do all kinds of crazy things, but they're devotees. So you see it from that point, and then it goes back to the devotional point. Not that it's not wrong, just that they're devotees, so once they correct the mentality, it moves on. We see Brahma Vimohan Leela, when it finishes, he continues on his devotional service as servant of Krishna. Indra, he's stupid. You know, then all these things, it all works out. He comes, offers his prayers and obeisances, then he goes back to doing his service. That's the whole point. In the community of devotees, you don't have prayaschitta. The prayaschitta is understanding what's wrong, and then being determined not to do that, again. So you're determined to be engaged in Krishna service. So what went wrong is not Krishna service. What you want to do is then be engaged in Krishna service, right? Like that. So then, yeah, what ignorance is there among the gods, right? Because they forget Krishna. To hell with their opulence. Then next verse. The devotees do not accept living on my planet, having similar powers, staying close to me, or having a similar form. What to speak of merging into me when these things are offered, unless it involves service to me? So for them, it's the service that's important. It's not the facility. Like we said, those are situational. Living on the same planet is the situation. Having similar powers is the situation. Staying close to me is the situation. Having a similar form is the situation. Right? What to speak of merging into me? So we see is that the devotees always distinguish that the situation, if it's favorable, if it's favorable for worshiping Krishna, then they are, they appreciate that. Then they take advantage of that situation. If the situation isn't giving rise to service, then what's the point? That's the devotee's angle on it. So something's value only has as much as it can be used. You know, just like if I hand you something that you don't know what it is. For you, you're thinking, what's this? What's it, you know? So unless you know what it's for and you can see that it can be used, then only there's an interest. But if it doesn't have, you know, then it's not, you know, it's just like Dwarka is going crazy over the Shamantaka jewel. People are dying. But for Jambavan, he just hands it to his kid because Jambavan, what does he need it for? He has service to Lord Ramachandra. He doesn't need anything. You know, he's a Vanara. He lives in his cave with his family and he's good. Like that, you know, so his son plays with it like a, you know, like he would just any interesting looking, colored or shaped object that they'd like to play with. So that's all the more it is to him. But to his father, it doesn't have any real meaning at all. You know, like that. Okay. So the devotee, so that's the difference we see is that from Bhagavatam, we're talking about this pure unalloyed devotion. They're not interested in all these things. So they don't want any of these things. And at the same time as what's favorable for serving is there. So then even the higher levels of majesty, then these things are only appreciated because of their ability to serve Krishna, right? While other devotees might be interested to be in connection with the Lord in one of these four aspects, but they're looking at it that would be nice to be on the same planet or have similar powers or stay close or have a similar form. And so that's what they want, but it's in connection with Krishna, so it's Krishna conscious. But it's not as mature as those devotees who they simply want to serve the Lord, and that's all. They're not interested in these things. But in serving the Lord, then they happen to be on the same planet, may have similar powers, staying close, or a similar form, like the cowherd boy. They have a similar form to Krishna. Therefore, they can play cowherd boy stuff. Right? That's the point, is that they have a form that is there that they can nicely serve the Lord with. The Sarabi has the form of a cow to serve Krishna like that. Then the Kalpavriksha trees have that form to serve like that. Mother Yashoda has her form so she can serve in her way. The gopis and theirs, cowherd boys and theirs. So they have that they want to serve Krishna. Then these things become of use, but it's based on pure bhakti. It's not, it's about, means, yeah. So pure unalloyed is that, it's just, it's doesn't have, there's no interest in these things for oneself. Pure bhakti is that you can see as, yeah, it's a good situation. So I serve like that, but the point is that it's very, because it's Bhagavatam, then you can understand, there's leaning towards pure unalloyed devotion. Then the next verse. Oh, sons of demons, being a brahmana, devata, or sage, good conduct, learning, charity, austerity, worship, cleanliness, and vows cannot please the Lord. The Lord is pleased by pure bhakti. Other than bhakti, everything else is a cause of mockery. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.7, 51 to 52. Right? So here, Prahlad Maharaj at 5 years old is talking to another bunch of, five-year-olds and, probably some are a little bit older. It's in the school. And so he's talking on this level, of detail. And because you can explain it to them, it makes sense that they don't know the full meaning, but they understand these things. And if they keep hearing it, at some point when they do understand what being a Brahmin or a devata or a sage or good conduct, learning, charity, austerity, worship, cleanliness, and vows are, but they know that these aren't of any importance unless they please the Lord. So then they will see that now on their own determination, they're following those to please the Lord. Otherwise, then generally speaking, for a child in the house, they're doing these things because the parents do it. So they can be taught these things. One can say, oh, but they don't know the meaning of all these things. No, but they understand the basic kind of concept that these are good things, but good things are only cannot please the Lord unless they're done in devotion. That's all. So pure bhakti is the only thing to please the Lord. So then you can use good things in the Lord's service to please Him, not to please yourself. So that's the difference you could say is, in the old school, or especially the Vedic, is that this detail of things can be taught to children. Just you don't get into fine details of what each one of them may mean. Only as much as then applies to, what's a devata? Oh, a demigod like Indra, that, okay, they understand that. Or a sage, okay, like Durvasa, this and that. So you can give some simple examples and they understand. But the point is it's not that, oh boy, this is too technical. No, it's only said to be too technical by an adult because they never learned it as a child. They only learned it as an adult. And even that, because they didn't learn it as a child, they may still be struggling with it today. And so they don't see, oh, but if I can't understand it, how could a kid understand? But the kid catches that the basic principle of the religious aspect to it, and it becomes part of their life. And then by being engaged by the parents in devotional service according to these things, then when they grow up, they'll see the significance, and then on their own, they'll get the benefit. Like it said, like one devotee asked Prabhupada that, you know, you give birth to a child as a devotee, and so do you get the benefit, the credit of having given birth to a devotee, and you get that devotional credit. And Prabhupada said, no, not until they turn 16 and they on their own volition want to be a devotee. Then you get the credit. But then you get, you know, the whole thing for all those 16 years. So that you're engaging them in service and that, you get credit for that. But for them being a devotee, that's when they turn 16 and on their own, they identify as a devotee. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Nice karmyam apyachuta bhava parjitam na shobate jnanam alam niranjanam kutaf punaf shashvad abhadram ishware na charpitam karma yad apyakaramanam. Even the stage of jnana without the bondage of karma is not glorious if it is devoid of bhakti to the Supreme Lord. What is the use of having destroyed ignorance? What then to speak of sakarma, which causes suffering, both during practice and at the stage of perfection, and nishkam karma when not offered to the Lord? Right? So if jnana doesn't, you know, where without the bondage of karma, you've already, you know, you're on that stage where you're free from all that. So then you are free, right? It's not glorious as devoid of bhakti, because for the devotee, that's like taking a ball, throwing it up in the air, and there's that moment where it just hangs in space. You can go, liberation, see, it's fabulous, let's have a party, and it's already hit the floor before you've even started your party, right? So that's the whole thing. On the platform of the soul, when you get out of the universe to that platform, one has to remember is that the lifetime of Lord Brahma, that whole manifestation, you know, including the breathing out and breathing in, is 3/4 of a second in that realm. So when you're in Mahakalapura and you're Mr. Liberated, one lifetime of Brahma is 3/4 of a second. So all that I'm liberated here in the world and all, what does that have any meaning? It's not even 3/4 of a second on eternal time. So it's nothing special, right? And so, and what is the use of having destroyed ignorance, right? He knows he's the soul. He knows all those things. But the point is what did he gain from it? He didn't understand he's the servant of Krishna. He has a relationship with Krishna. That is the eternal platform. He can function on that. He doesn't understand. So sakama, you know, that's just being absorbed in the material world, right? That causes suffering both during practice and at the stage of perfection. You don't have a house. You work hard to get a house. Then when you get the house, then you're still suffering because now you have to take care of the house. You have to pay the, you know, whatever it is on the house. You know, people come over and whatever it is, you got to mow the lawn. You know, so at all stages, it's always a problem. If it's about you, it's always a problem. And then nishkam karma means I'm doing that without attachment. It's the same thing, same suffering, same practice, but, you know, it will bring you to the liberated platform. But the point is if we said, see, sakama will give you knowledge and detachment, then you'll move on to jnana. And nishkam karma yoga, that's already an advanced platform of karma in which working without results, it brings you to that liberated platform. But if the liberated platform itself is not glorious, what to speak of sakam karma or nishkam karma yoga? And here he's just saying sakam and nishkam, let alone yoga. So the point is for devotees, it's the yoga part that's of value. So if it's nishkam, it's useless. If it's nishkam karma, then it has a value. Even sakam karma yoga, it has the yoga. It has some value because it's connected to Krishna. But we see before is that Brahma, I mean, so the devotees and all that, the demigods are devotees. And that, but even though they worship the Lord and get all the benefits that they want from that, then the point is then unless they're engaging that in Krishna's service, once they have it, they continue that, then it's a waste of time. That's the whole point. So therefore, what ignorance there is among the gods, to hell with their opulence. They have it, so what? Okay, so yeah. Then, so it's interesting is also just because most of the time only the negative we notice, unless by the positive we get some benefit. But the negative, we think, okay, there's a problem. We don't want to do something that has a problem, because problems means it's not productive of my good will. I mean, good facility or good well-being. So I avoid it because of the negative. The positive, only if I see that there's a benefit, do I use it, even though it is beneficial. So that's why then, so all these are all showing the negative, right? So one more. Persons who have realized you do not regard attainment of personal liberation as your mercy. What to speak of attaining a material position like Indra, which is subject to fear caused by the Lord raising his eyebrow, right? So even Indra, he has this great position, but if the Lord's upset, then, he's having problems. O Lord, those devotees surrender to your lotus feet are expert knowers of rasa, derived from narrations about your fame, which should be chanted and which purify everyone like a tirtha, Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15:48. Right? So those who have realized those who have realized Krishna have no interest in liberation, a position of a demigod, or anything. If you have that, why anything else would be important? Right? Because they've realized that taking shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, and then hearing and chanting about the Lord's name, form, qualities, and pastimes, that's the actual nectar. That should be chanted. That will purify everyone like a tirtha. And so that's the whole point, is they have no interest, but it shows here, it shows the negative, and it shows what's the positive like that, right? The words sarvatara and sarvada, Srimad Bhagavatam 2:9:36, should also be taken together as in the following. Tasmat sarvatmana rajan hari sarvatara sarvada shrotavya kirtitavyascha smartavyo bhagavan mandirinam. O king, therefore, at all times and all places, without restriction, men should hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord with full concentration of mind. Right? So here again, he says, all places and times without restriction, men should hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord with full concentration of mind. Srimad Bhagavatam 2:2:36. Right? So this is earlier. And then, so that's already been mentioned. And then we see 2:9:36 is giving it as a conclusion of all conclusions. So in other words, conclusion is Krishna as Paramatma is everything. I mean, Krishna as Bhagavan, Brahma, excuse me. Krishna as Brahman is everything. Krishna as Paramatma, he pervades everything and makes everything function. So any value you have in it is only because of the Lord. And if you don't see it in connection with the Lord, it's useless. The other one you see or not, he is existence of everything. But the third is he is the person is beyond this. And therefore that personal relationship you can have with him of hearing, chanting, remembering, and glorifying the Lord in the association of the Vaishnavas, that therefore is your goal. So now what's the conclusion? At all times, all places, all circumstances, regardless, one should always be trying to hear, chant, and glorify the Lord and remember the Lord in the association with Vaishnava. That should be always trying to be done. That is the Abhideya. That always goes on. The others are the Sambandhi Jnana, that this is what is the situation. Then Abhideya is what you're always doing, right? So that's why it's in this form, because, well, if we put it, in the form we were showing before, then you have the aspect of you have the features of Sambandhi Jnana, and Abhideya is kind of like part of that understanding. But here it's that No, it's the part of the understanding. That's the prajumna aspect. That's the prajumna aspect of the sambandhi gyan. And then there's the aniruddha aspect of the sambandhi gyan. So the sankarshan prajumna aniruddha of sambandhi gyan. It includes all three. But now what's the conclusion? That you should always, at all times and all places, be engaged in abhideya, bhakti to the Lord. That is always going on. So you can't say, oh, I got the result. Now I could sit back. No, that's not the point. It's not about the situation. It's about doing something, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Sarvatara and sarvada are also linked to positive and negative statements. Smartavyasatatam Vishnor Vishmartavyo Nagjatu Chit. Sarve vidhi nishedhasyur etasyaiva vidinkaraha. Vidinkara, yeah, vidinkaraha. One should always remember Vishnu and never forget him. All rules and negative injunctions are servants of this rule. Right, Padma Purana 7, oh, excuse me, 671, 100. So always remember, never forget him. So all rules and negative injunctions are servants of this rule. So that means all rules. How you say that what you should do is always remember Krishna, right? And all the negative are so you don't forget him. So that means all the rules and regulations, everything is always about always being absorbed in Krishna and never forgetting. So those things, and what are we showing is the negative. The negative is always in connection with, what do you call it? All these different, things. Vedas, other scriptures, serving holy places, performing austerity of sacrifice if one is devoid of bhakti to Vishnu. Right? So at all times, all places, all circumstances, that's then is the point, is that the negative is all times, all places, circumstances should be used for the Lord. All the rules are in this circumstance, do this for the Lord. In that circumstance, do that for the Lord. So in other words, it's always about remembering Krishna and never forgetting him. There is nothing else, right? This covers all conditions. The introduction is as follows. Na hyan tonyas shivas panta vishatas samshravaviha vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yogo yato bhavet. There's no other auspicious path for those suffering in the material world, because this path produces prema for Bhagavan, Vasudeva. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.2.33. And this one, I suppose, the other one, 2.2.36. Okay. That's interesting. It's interesting that in 2.2.36, it's in the second canto, second chapter, but it's the 36th verse. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, the Chaturshloki, it's also the 36th verse, 2.9.36. And then here, the introduction to this, that there's no other auspicious, it's 33, right? So 36, 35, 34, 36, 35, 34, 33. And so that's the first verse, 2.9.33, and this 2.2.2.33. So it's also explaining the general point, but then it's making it complete, that it's all encompassing in the Chaturshloki. The conclusion is as follows. Tasmat sarvatmana rajan hari sarvatra sarvada shrotavyas kirtitavyascha smartavyo bhagavan madinam. O king, therefore, at all times and all places, without restriction, men should hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord with full concentration of mind. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.2.36. Right? Like that. So it's also interesting here. So he's saying, so you can see all men, all times, all places. This is the conclusion. So if you didn't understand it from 2.9.36, that this is what it meant, this is what it's saying. It's already said it here, and it's summarized there, that everything is in those four verses. And so it's taking from this point. Right? So it's also interesting, even though he quoted this a few points before, that Sarvada should be also taken like this, and then giving other aspects. Then he's saying, so the conclusion is this, and then quotes the same verse again. So that's the point. So all this is an explanation of 2936. Even though it's here, 2236 is showing this. This is the explanation of what that's saying in 2936. Like that. So it won't be considered, oh, you're repeating it. Because we know from, even if you are repeating, we know from Mimamsa, repetition means it's important. So that's why in modern writing, they try to avoid repetition because they don't want anything to be any too important. You don't want to glorify anything too much. They don't want anything to be too important. They just want it to be brought out in an intellectual way that it sounds good to think about, and it's a nice thing to think about. Right? You know, like that, because you just say it and then it's good. Because if I say, you know, I say, yes, it takes a village to raise a child. Most everyone go, yes, yes, yeah, well, yeah, so nice and that. So whoever I want to count as part of the village, then I'll say that. If someone else is there, you know, they're taking part and they're adding something, I'll think this or say it. Or I want them to take part and help, I'll say this. But do I actually know what a village is and what a community is? And am I working for that and functioning in that and have the same values to be able to establish that? No, I don't have to. I'm just saying it because it sounds nice. So that's the modern way of thinking, you know, on intellectual, political, you know, economic or, you know, just general community level. Is just, it should sound nice. So it's inspiring that I can do what I want because everyone's going to do something different with it. The intellectual is just going to speculate with it and continue speculating and enjoy himself in that way. The politician is going to say those things because people then will like what he's doing and appreciate, and therefore he can get done what he wants to get done. The Vaishya will say that because then people will support his business and people get inspired to work hard and make profit, and others won't bother him because we're doing something good. And for the general public, then to say all these things just gives them something nice and sentimental on the bodily platform that they can then identify with and then say, yes, we're all a community here, you know, but who's actually a community? They're all different and they all kill each other. You know, so that's the whole point, is it just sounds good. So that's the whole thing, is that here repetition means it's being repeated. Then you have to think about it. You have to go deeper into that. So on the material platform, people don't want that, right? So here is that, therefore, at least in, especially in the modern you know, kind of social ideals, they don't want. In the Vedic, you know, generally they will, but still it's useless because it doesn't connect to Krishna. It doesn't have the maternal platform. So it can't be actually Sarvatara and Sarvada. So repetition is not a problem. So one should know that using the same verse, we see Jiva Goswami does that so many times. He, in this one section, he'll use it again and again, even over a run of sections or here and there, he'll use it again and again. So it's not a problem for him. Rinam means all jivas in this verse, where it is said, right? So he says, Bhagavan Rinam means all men, right? Having determined this to be the status of the living entity, learned sages become imbued with faith and worship your lotus feet, to which all Vedic sacrifices in this world are offered, and which are the source of liberation. Right, so now they've determined that this is Srimad Bhagavatam 1087, 20, so the personified Vedas, right? So you can take it that they know what they're talking about, right? So having determined this to be the status of the living entity, right? So that means everything, all Vedic sattva means everything is to be offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, right? So it means all living entities are to be engaged in devotional service. The following should be said. So this is the Acharya's comment. Following should be said, karma lasts until one renounces the body as the source of enjoyment, right? So as long as you're thinking you'll enjoy from the body, karma lasts. Even if the specific karma ends with this body that you are enjoying the facility now, and depending upon how much karma is there, there's still some good, that situation may come up again or it may go down. But the point is as long as one thinks that the body is the source of my enjoyment, then one is engaged in the path of karma. Yoga, right? You know, then once you give that up, then you leave the path of karma, right? So then, you know, you can go to jnana or something, another aspect, but it lasts that long. Yoga culminates in siddhis. When you get siddhis, then you've reached the perfection that it can give. It can't give you more than that, right? We hear about, you know, we know about the yogis doing meditation, but once they meditate and become on samadhi, on the Supreme Lord, then you see they take up devotional service, right? Just like the karmi, he renounces the body as a source of enjoyment. Then he sees the body can be engaged in the Lord's service and all the facilities of the field of action that's connected with his body can all be used in Krishna's service, right? So again, they leave the one and take up next, like that. Shankhya culminates in knowledge of Atma, right? So Shankhya, you understand the soul and how the soul is, you know, entangled, how they can elevate themselves, how they can degrade themselves. So once you understand that, unless you take up devotional service, then, you know, it's a waste. You come all that way, you know, it's like that South African saying, I think, yeah, that someone works so hard to climb to the top of the mountain only to fall down the other side, right? So in other words, they can't maintain themselves on the top there. Jnana culminates in liberation. So once you get to the liberated platform, unless you go further, again, one will come down. Like the four Kumaras, they took it further. They saw the difference between bhakti and just jnana, and so they took up bhakti. So in other words, it culminates at a point where now you could use it properly. In other words, karma, without seeing the body as the source of enjoyment, then that's karma yoga, right? Then, you know, using jnana yoga, then you see all the different things in the connection with the Lord. So all these different things, you know, that were the soul and the soul is connected to the Lord. So they all culminate in that position in which you could use them for the Lord. So the devotee is already in the perfectional stage of what any of these other three paths. They're already there. They're already seeing that the body is not a source of sense gratification, that all abilities I have are for using in Krishna's service, all knowledge and understanding, I'm not the body, I'm the soul, and how the, you know, the material nature and the modes of nature and everything work is for serving Krishna. Being not interested in results of the material world, then one's situated on the spiritual platform as the soul. But that platform then is to be used in Krishna's service. So all these are just environments or situations to use in the Lord's service. So that's the whole point, is we've gone from a position of having the opportunity to express a relationship with Krishna, you know, pursue that in devotion, and therefore then come to that point of actual abhideya and be situated eternally there. So the situation we're in, always using it in abhideya to the Lord. But instead of taking that, we've turned our you know, a face from the Lord. And so now the situations we have that all give temporary results, and the action that we perform is simply to get those temporary results, which can't satisfy the soul. So all we have to do is now, okay, those situations and the culmination of those, we'll use that as the platform to function in our service to the Lord. And so then again, we take up abhideya, you know, I mean, or we take up that position of abhideya, in which now we can come to the platform of prema. Right? These are the respective qualifications. All these processes involve limits, right? They can go up to that point. They're the qualifications of the path, and it also shows the qualification of the person on the path. All these processes involve limits, right? We're mentioning Sarvatra Sarvada. There are no limits. All these processes involve limits with transgression if one goes beyond the limit, according to the scripture. Since bhakti is recommended at all times and places by positive and negative statements, because of its greatness, it is suitable to speak of it as a limb of prema, which is the secret rahasya mentioned in the Chatur Shloki, right? Because it can be always done. So bhakti is an anga of prema, because prema is then the platform, the perfectional platform of the soul when they come to their natural stage and their relationship, expressing that relationship to the Lord. So bhakti is an anga of that. So that the Abhideya, then that can always be performed in that platform of prema. Since it is a limb of prema, which is confidential, it is covered up by the form of jnana in this verse. Right, in the verse, right? So therefore, that's why it says, you know, in this world are offered, which are the source of means. Having determined this, the saturated the learned become imbued with worshiping the Lord as feet, to which all Vedic sacrifices in this world are offered, right? So it's showing that they're showing the Jiva is who they are, the eternal part and parcel of Krishna, his servant, learned sages, imbued with faith. And worship the lotus, therefore worship the Lord's lotus feet, you know, which all Vedic sacrifices, everything is offered to. So that means everything we've discussed about, and which are the source of liberation, and which are, you know, free one. So it has that covered by that form of yawn, just so that, you know, people won't think that, oh, there's nothing there for us. And for the devotee, they understand that liberation is, as Madhvacharya expresses, that it means established in an eternal relationship with the Lord. That is liberation. Otherwise, liberation that the jnanis are talking about is a temporary situation. It's not actually a real, it's not, it's asat. Means we call it sat because it's working with sat, but it's not actually sat. Just like, let's say, you have, you know, third graders and they do the, what do you call it? You know, work with clay. You know, they make different things and all that. And something that they can make and take home to their mom, you know, and the mom will go, oh, so nice, you know, like this. So then, but are they real artists? Are they real potters? No, you know. Like that. So that's the point, is that it's not, so even though it's called Sat, you know, the liberated platform, it's only Sat if it's connected to Krishna. Otherwise, it's Sat while you're there, just like when the ball, you throw it up in the air, there's that moment of weightlessness. But then at the next moment, it comes back down. You know, so you're fighting against gravity when it's going up, then it's just there suspended for that moment, and then it comes crashing back down. So in the same way, is that's the jnanis. But dharma, arta, kama, moksha, we generally tend to think in lines of, you know, because we say, oh yes, we give up karma. Oh, so we'll do nothing? No, it just means you're not seeing your body as the source of enjoyment. So therefore, all the engagement of the senses are simply to please the Lord. But what about you know, making money or not? So it's always being seen in the relationship how I will enjoy it. It's mine. That's where the problem comes up. But no, karma yoga means you are already renouncing the body as a source of enjoyment. You're seeing it as it's just for Krishna. You might have some attachment to it, but you're still ultimately thinking it's for Krishna. And so gradually, the knowledge of detachment will come, and one will come to the point of Nishkam Karma Yoga. And then slowly, one will come to the point of just pure bhakti, right? And from there to prema. So it's a natural that it moves through these stages. But the point is, you have to know the emphasis is on the bhakti, because otherwise, if you don't, then you get situations in which individuals will think that doing their work, the status for their work, their position, you know, they should get this and that facility and authority, all based on the bodily concept of life, you know, and knowledge and skills based around that. You know, so it's just gain and safety. And Krishna says you have to give that up. So you have to know that even though I may be working in these because of my attachment to it, ultimately have to give it up. Otherwise, you just, oh no, this is good. And then it just becomes established. Because you can say, yeah, yeah, of course it's for bhakti and that, and never discuss it again. Yes, so let's discuss it. No, no, we don't need to. It's already done. Because by discussing it, then the point comes is that, I may have to actually start to become detached from my attachment to this karma, or the same will go for those who are attached to jnana or to yoga, you know, like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. How are we doing? 57. Okay. Brahma, who taught the Bhagavatam in summary to Narada, made Narada take this vow. Yata harau bhagavati narinam bhaktir bhavishyati sarvatman yakiladhare iti sankalpya varnaya. After making a sankalpa, you should speak the Bhagavatam in such a way that devotion to Hari, attractor of the mind, Bhagavan, the blissful object of worship, the essence of all worship, and the fulfiller of all desire, will appear in the people of Kali Yuga. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.7.52. Right? So this is then... then he points... Then the Acharya says, making a vow, accepting a principle, that bhakti will definitely appear in all beings. You should speak it. Right? So in other words... Your understanding, since it is the principle, all living entities are parts and parcels of Krishna, and their natural position is to serve Krishna in pure bhakti. Therefore, we should make a determination that this is, we will speak in such a way that everybody will catch and appreciate this and that. So that's the preaching. So this then is the verse that explains what we're talking before. It's not soft preaching. It's not hard preaching. It's what will get all living entities in Kali Yuga to appreciate the Lord and his devotional service, and in some way move forward on the path of bhakti. That's then what it was. Brahma spoke thus to Narada. Right? So then this is So then this is then how we should see everything. Everything has to come to this. So anything else we have to see in this context. You know, if one's into management, how it's being used to serve Krishna, we're doing our preaching, how people are becoming engaged in Krishna service or managing, how are people being engaged in doing the aspect of management? How does that management involve people beyond that in Krishna service? You know, just like you manage a festival, all the people in the festival are becoming Krishna conscious. The people arranging the festival become Krishna conscious. The persons who are organizing, you know, all the management are becoming Krishna conscious. Like that. So everybody is coming close to their Krishna. If that's there, then everything becomes perfect. We're doing some great big puja and some big program. Is everybody becoming Krishna conscious? If it is, then we can say it's perfect. And if it's not, then that should be corrected. Yes? No? Very good. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.